Praise the Lord, everyone. Good morning. I've been coming to this church from 18 months or so, maybe a little more than that. I'm Avinash Chetty. I was born and brought up in India. I was born into a Christian family. Both my grandparents were pastors. They served in the eastern, southeastern part of India. Since my childhood, I had a high view of Christianity as I was raised seeing and hearing people embrace the religion, though I never understood anything of it. For me, Christianity was a superior religion among all other religions. During my early school days, I was introduced to cricket and I loved this game. And I spent almost all of my life until I was 15 playing cricket and developed an affection for the game. I wanted to be a cricketer and earn big money. And my parents used to send me to Sunday school, but I used to skip going to Sunday school and instead of go to the playground and play cricket. So I used to bunk Sunday school. My father used to discipline me very much for that. So while I was going back to home, I was literally shivering because my dad would use a stick. So usually we have these curtain rods at home, and my dad used to, discipline us with those. But years passed, and I started developing a flat foot in both of my feet. But I've become more rebellious and started lying more to my parents. As my flat foot grew, it became hard for me to play cricket any longer. I befriended many people and went to temples with them. So most of my friends were Hindus. And I used to play cricket well, so my friends were older than me, at least 5 or 6 years older than me. So they used to influence me more than my parents. I troubled my parents a lot during that time. But in the year 2007, I felt an urge to abstain from the way I was living and wanted to change myself. So I started to go to church and took baptism in order to cater to the change that I was expecting. I would read the Bible and pray to discipline myself. I never really understood scriptures because I read and interpreted them with the preconceived ideas that occupied my mind. I asked God to come in to my heart many times, and I thought He came into my heart, but after a while I used to go back to the same thing. My definition of change was to quit my bad habits, like I used to smoke, drink, do chemicals once in a while, but I used to smoke a lot of weed. I smoked weed for about 12 years or so. Condition became very worse, and Isaiah 57:20 describes the condition of my heart. The wicked are like tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Jesus explained it with much clarity in Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. I was one person at my workplace, a different person at home, another when I was with my friends. My father is a staunch Christian. In 2000, this is the phase when God started to draw me. In 2013, he had a brain cancer called glioblastoma. It shook our entire family. That was the first time I think I started really thinking questions that made any sense to me. So I myself never expected that something of this kind would encounter me or my family. The doctors said he would survive only 6 months. With God's grace, he lived for 22 months. He was very much worried in the beginning, but accepted the suffering as allowed by God and trusted in him. It was a very difficult time for him, but his faith just was flowing out of him. I don't think he never struggled about his faith during that time. And during this time, I came close to my dad because he was strict from our childhood. We never had a good relationship, but this was the time I started developing a relationship with my dad. And one side of his body was paralyzed and he was not able to see and also recognize me. And this was the time I was reading Psalms to me because he was unable to read by himself. One day I was reading Psalms 119. It's a big psalm, so I read 30 verses at a time. In Psalms 119, 71 and 75 says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me." When I read these words, I thought, God is someone who presses down his people. I saw him as a psycho. These verses brought comfort later. Though my father lived such a devoted life, why would God still treat him this way? I was afraid that forbearance, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit which I prayed for, forbearance can be brought forth into the soul only through pain and suffering. And this is what I dreaded, not just feared. These verses were rooted into my mind very deeply. I spent days at hospital looking at people afflicted with diseases and witnessing deaths. I feared death since many years, but a new fear overtook me. That was the fear of the judgment of God. What if God says, "Away from me, you evildoer"? I know that if I were to go before God at that time, God would say this to me. I was very much distressed and perplexed about my condition and my relationship with Him. I realized that I was messing around with God. So thoughts about life's purpose would consume my mind day and night. There was no peace. I was always angry, no happiness in life. I tried weird things to make myself happy. On the other hand, my dad was peaceful in the midst of his suffering. I would sometimes study the behavior patterns of glioblastoma patients and found them terrifying. I would try to understand my dad's condition, but he was actually totally opposite to the patterns described in the articles. One condition was that the patients would scream out of irritation and restlessness and become very, but my dad was calm, peaceful, and childlike. Since then, I wanted to seek and know God who gives me peace, the peace that my dad had. I believe God displayed His glory through my dad and drew me to Himself. I was attracted to Him this way. Scripture says in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." My dad was called to glory on September 2, 2015. A few days later, one of our relatives came to express his condolences to our family. He spoke to me on Genesis 25:11, which said, "After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac." And since then, I expected a material blessing from God. But God had different plans for me. I have been trying to come to the United States since a long time. I had to drop my plans considering my dad's health to take care of him. I started to ask God to reveal Himself to me. This was the time that God used to draw me close to Him. I fasted and prayed. God was starting to help me understand the scriptures slowly. I was trying to understand the Gospel of Matthew. God brought a teacher of word into my life who would speak what is needed for me exactly. He did a series of 80 videos on the Gospel of Matthew, and it helped me a lot to take me further in my walk with the Lord. It took me several months to get to be done with those 80 videos. In the meantime, I applied for a visa to come to the United States. I was accepted. I got a visa, and I felt this was a miracle. God was faithful to me during these days, but I was not faithful to Him. I was accepted to a Southern New Hampshire University, and I came to United States. My interest in the gospel did not relent. I wanted to know more. I started reading John's gospel. While I was reading one day, I felt the words that Jesus spoke were heavy, and a human being cannot speak such words. Though I read scriptures many times, I wasn't induced like this before. I struggled specifically with the doctrine of election. Though I know Jesus Christ, I grew up in a Christian family. We know that it's in the tradition that everybody says Jesus is God. So I used to say Jesus is God, and I used to even share the gospel when I was not saved. John 7:37 says, "Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living waters will flow from within them." And John 14:23 says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." My conversion, I listened to an excerpt of a sermon on election from John MacArthur. I was struggling with election from before I was saved. Some of R.C. Sproul's radio's teaching really helped me too. I was in my room alone listening to R.C. Sproul's sermon on holiness of God. God showed all the lies that I have ever spoken while I was listening. There were countless, and I wept very bitterly that day. I wept for about half an hour that day. The next day I woke up with fullness of joy. God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal my inability to save myself. I could clear my heart clearly. I was a deceived person all the time. He enabled me to understand my spiritual poverty. I remember a thought among so many that God brought into my mind. I was alone in an open space with some stones and throwing them, trying to aim the sky and hoping that it would reach the heaven. And I felt the need for a savior. So when I got this thought, I felt God asking me, "This is what your righteousness is. It'll go for 500 meters and then fall down. It can never reach the heavens." That's how incapable my righteousness was. I continued reading John's gospel very carefully to understand Jesus' words. I asked God to help me understand. God Almighty removed the scales from my eyes and I could comprehend the texts. When God was opening my eyes to the scriptures this way, I was encouraged to study the word diligently, and God would do the same every day, each and every day. God, the Holy Spirit, would reveal these scriptures to me. During these days, my heart's deception was made very clear to me, and I cannot depend on myself anymore. Because God has already revealed that I am a wicked person. I am untrustworthy. There is no eternal truth in me on which I can place my trust to save myself. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' words were so true about the work of the Spirit in John 16:14. "He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." The scales fell off my eyes and I was weeping for joy for weeks before, because God had saved me. Oh, my heart was full of joy. I wanted to jump, clap and do every crazy thing that I... I could do. When I would read God's word, I would want to shout for joy all the time. But there were people around me, so I would go to the restroom and cry for joy. The scriptures were alive. For the next few days, God, the Holy Spirit, worked so powerfully in me and established a high regard for Christ by revealing what Christ claimed to be. My eyes became a fountain of tears of joy. I was never happy and joyful like this before. The joy that I experienced cannot be expressed in words. I am reconciled to my Creator and found meaningful life, and that is to enjoy His fellowship. This verse from John 17:3 ensured my salvation. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I have started helping people clean their yards. This is the after work of my salvation. I became aware of people's needs with a new passion in my heart because I was born again now. My theoretical knowledge of scriptures or any of my efforts did not give me the new birth. The change that God brought in me was inconceivable in my unconverted days. I understood nothing, yet I thought I understood everything and even passed judgments on things pertaining spirituality. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things of God that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." I was never made a new creation. I spent years in deception thinking I was born again when I was not, believing I'm a new creation when I was dead. I tried to push myself to believe in the scriptures, but nothing had happened until God had changed me. But when I was born again by His Spirit, my attitude towards God changed. The way I approach God changed. The empty way of seeking life in things has gone. A regret that I couldn't become a created haunted me, and it disappeared at once. There was peace in my heart. I was so filled with the gratitude towards God for not allowing me to succeed in my plans. When I succeeded in everything, if I succeeded everything and had no salvation, my life would be empty. When I was lost, I would have fits of rage, and God took that away in an instant. There are other changes that the Lord has brought in my life. God gave me an appetite for prayer and to studying scriptures. In my early days of conversion, I prayed God to show me how I can love Him. I felt a slow breeze saying, "Love the redeemed." Since then, I have been learning to have love for the saints all over the world and for the congregation here with me before. I love you all. God also taught me the importance of going to church and of fellowship. Likewise, God corrected my many errors. Days went by and I was growing in the assurance of salvation. Romans 8:16, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God." Most of these days, I was in awe of our great God, the works He accomplished for me. I never dreamt of such a blessing. I couldn't conceive it before Christ. In Hebrews 2:11, my identity in Christ has been revealed to me clearly. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. God has continued to reveal the sinfulness of my heart. In October 2016, God revealed the sinfulness of my heart in a new way. And I was under conviction of sin for weeks. I couldn't lift up my eyes. I couldn't even see my face in the mirror. The condition of my heart was horrible to me. This conviction was like a sharp thing thrusted into my heart. And I saw every form of wickedness in me. Even the finest of my good deeds were filthy rags. The stains of my sin on my soul are very deep. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 tells, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. What troubles me is that I loved my sin, nourished it when it was leading me to hell. I have no other hope but Christ. Where can I go when I am being deceived so grossly except to throw myself at His feet for grace? He did everything and gave everything for me. Yet I dishonor Him and hurt Him in many ways. I even felt I wouldn't forgive myself, but God did. Such is His great love towards me. I asked God to help me understand His love and grace. He exposed the darkness of my heart to help me understand Romans 5:8, which states, God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now I can go to Him much freely than before. God enabled me to comprehend this verse in 1 Timothy 1:14, as much as He revealed, the grace of our Lord has been poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I understood that faith is produced by knowing Christ, and knowing and growing in the knowledge of Him is the only source of true faith, because faith and love are integrated into the personhood of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ alone could reveal them in me. Before Christ, I always thought that faith is to convince myself intellectually, and never knew that it is the gift of God. Several areas of suffering began in my life. My apartment, so this is the first time that I got introduced, or that I knew that bed bugs actually existed. So I was a student then, back in New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire. And they increased more and more day by day. So the funniest thing was they wouldn't bite anyone else but me. It was crazy. So I went to the nurse and showed it to her. And she told me that you can look for bugs, which are like apple seeds. So I went back and started looking for those. And I saw so many of them during the nights. But I couldn't get off from that apartment because I was under a lease. I had to take, and I also was diagnosed with diabetes at the time. My HbA1c was almost close to 10. I think 11 and a half, sorry. I had to take medicine for it, and I had to sleep on, and because I was taking the medication, I wanted more rest. But because of the bed bugs, I wasn't able to sleep. I used to sleep on the chairs for about 2 hours a day. And I used to feel how my heart was dropping down when I used to wake up. I wasn't able to work, and because of my condition with the health, and I had no money to get a new place. I also was diagnosed with diabetes, as I said. At times, I would get depressed. My vitamin, and when I also was diagnosed with diabetes, they checked my whole blood thing. So they found out that many of the vitamins were very low in my body, and that made my condition even much worse. I was taking some medication, and it was started giving me more confusion in my mind, but God allowed me to have peace in my heart. That peace was never disturbed, or the joy was never disturbed because of this. At times, I would cry for hours, almost like a dumb man. People were making fun of me, making jokes, but God was stripping me. I spent my time in tears. This occurred for a couple of years. God brought me to 1 Peter 4:12 through 5:10, which talks about the suffering of a Christian. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God had to strip me in order to establish me in Him. God has delivered me from these many fears and anxieties, which troubled me for years, and replaced them with holy fear, but not completely free from all of them. Though I was born again, I was still in the bondage of idolatry of works. By this time I was zealous, but I was also having some idols in my heart, like doing such sort of things that would make me more spiritual, but that didn't make me more spiritual. Understanding Christ and the grace that is in them, what makes us more mature in Christ. I understood this in my early days of conversion. God has set me free from it almost a year later, but I still fall into it many times when I sin. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that God raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. This is the first time I realized that I was also placed in the heavenly realms with Christ. If I look at my shortcoming and frailty, I have no hope that I will overcome. But if I look at Christ alone, I hope my hope is reassured. He has to carry me forward and let me enter His rest. The rest of Christ's finished work must fully realize in me. He took me through tough times to grow me and faithfully carried me through the times of sickness and need and depression. I am a much freer man compared to my early days in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 say, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Beginning from the recognition of being poor in the Spirit, it is God who worked in me, convicting me and comforting me. It is Him who created the desire to live a righteous life, as described in Matthew's 5 in the Beatitudes, and the one who fills it, He has to cleanse and create a pure heart in me. Since Christ entered my heart, scriptures were no longer theoretical, but I was knowing them by experience as the Lord revealed them to me. In 2017, I moved from New Hampshire to Boston. God gave me a new place to live rent-free. God gave me a church called Redeemer Fellowship Church there in Boston. The first time I attended, and God moved my heart. I knew this was the place for me. I was baptized at this church. I almost gave all of this testimony there too. The first time I attended and God moved my heart, I knew this was the place for me. I was baptized at this church. I wanted to obey the Bible and the elders. For a while, I thought I didn't want to get married. I had no desire to have children. In 2018, though I decided I couldn't bear it any, it means the suffering that I was going through, that the Lord has allowed in my life. I couldn't bear it any longer. I had a friend who was praying for me and urged me to get married. But I was not ready for marriage considering all of this suffering. But he really encouraged me and prayed for me, and my heart changed. I sought the Lord about a wife, for a wife. In India, arranged marriages are different. But I was confident in the elders I knew in India. I wasn't confident in the elders I knew in India. The only person I would have been confident was my father, but he passed away. As they were not what we might call godly. In April 2018, I started my search for a wife. During this time, Satan was severely buffeting me. He was tormenting my thoughts. God prompted me to read Song of Solomon. I read the whole book, and God gave me a promise that there is a woman who would be a match for me. God led me to a woman, but it wasn't God's will. She was Indian, but from Canada. She was and I didn't have peace about that. Though it went as far as we could get married, God broke into that relationship and He put a break to that. Eventually, I found out that it is not good for me or for the plans that the Lord had for me, for my life. I had a Christian dating website, and after praying, I picked up my phone and I saw my wife's request there. I called her and she was so happy. We had so much in common. Within a week, we made a decision to get married. We never had seen each other in person. I had only spoken with her over a video call. My family gave Divya her engagement ring since we could see each other face to face until the day before our wedding day. 8 months after engagement, we were married. After marriage, I still struggled to get better, but slowly God started to heal me physically. Boston was getting expensive, and I knew I wanted to serve Him and have purpose in my life, because we all have only one life, and I wanted to make it count for eternity. Philippians 1:6 says that He who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I give God all the glory. Praise God for everything. Thank you very much for patiently listening to my testimony. Thank you.